This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to the show. Thank you so much for being with us. Well, it's always good to have our good buddy Alan Stack in. Stack Optical is the store. And I always say it this way. At Stack Optical, you'll see the difference. Alan, you should pay me for that. That's a great tagline, man. Every time I say it, I need a quarter.
I know. But there's a couple other opticals that use that same one.
Oh, do they? Yes. Oh, well, I think they copied me I tell you. Yep. I've been saying that a long time. But
yes, you have.
Yeah. No, seriously, it's great to have Alan in. His store is 2233 South Monaco Parkway, stackoptical.com. Folks, hey, you know, I don't say this much, but go on, check out the reviews. A lot of Google reviews, and just, you know, most of us, Alan, first of all, welcome. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thank you.
Most time we don't spend a lot of time when we're happy, you know, saying something. You know, I mean, we had a good experience. And, you know, for someone to take the time to write a review when they're really happy about something, that shows, you know, how happy of a client I think they really are.
No, I appreciate that.
Yeah, it is really good. And, hey, Alan's been our exclusive optical person since we started, Haystack and Sportsman and all of that. And it certainly fits on both of our shows, so you'll hear Alan's interviews on Haystack Help and during our weekday show, as well as Sportsman of Colorado, because Alan's kind of an outdoor guy himself and a gun enthusiast. He likes to do some shooting, so he can help you out there too.
Yeah, I do really enjoy target shooting.
Yeah, as we age into life, our vision kind of wanes, doesn't it, Alan?
Yes, it does.
Oh man! So, all right, hey, we're going to touch on a few things with Alan here today. Number one, I always like to start here: a good eye exam. If you're thinking right now, well, how long has it been since I've had one, or if you've ever had one? If you can't remember, you're probably due. And Al, I don't even say a certain age now. I mean, it's good just to have a baseline, no matter how old you are.
Yes. Typically, it's a good idea to get a yearly eye exam, especially when you're over 50. There's just so many things that we can catch early and take care of instead of just letting it get worse.
Right.
So, yeah, our recommendation over 50, do it yearly. You know, it's not like it's in a big expense.
Sure.
You know, our doc still charges only $69, and that includes dilation and everything else.
I want to say $99 just because I just think $69 is so inexpensive. But and he spends the time. This isn't something you just go in and close each eye, A, B, F, D,
no,
can you see the chart?
He takes the time. Sometimes that gets us in a little bit of trouble. You know, but he does definitely takes the time.
Mm-hmm. He does a great job. And he tests everything that really you need in a good comprehensive eye exam.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that includes the dilation, and, you know, he'll look inside the eye, and, you know, he'll ask you a lot of questions and so forth, and, you know, and does a really good refraction.
Mm-hmm.
And he does contacts as well. So.
Right. So when you see people, I would assume most of the time, 1 year to the other, it may be just some minor tweaks, and I could be wrong.
A lot of times when you're coming in yearly, it's every 2 or 3 years that the actual prescription changes. It's more about just checking over the, you know,
the health
people say,
of the
eye. I can see fine. I don't need to come in. That's not what it's primarily for.
Mm-hmm.
It's just to check over the health of the eye.
Yeah.
It's like your annual physical.
Mm-hmm.
Just make that part of it.
Man, no doubt. No doubt. And $69 now. A contact exam's a few dollars.
Yeah, that's either $30 or $40 more depending on the type of.
Okay.
You know, contacts you have.
Okay, yeah, I just want to make sure there. And, again, all you have to do is call 303-321-1578, schedule your exam, and Alan and his team will get you in. Another great thing, and I'm just kind of go through some services that Alan offers, and one is repairs, and we were kind of talking, Alan, before we started recording, you said, let's talk about when something happens at home. So you must have seen a lot of people.
What happens, it's usually when we're closed. You know, it happens on a Sunday, and somebody breaks their glasses. Oh, well, let's put a little super glue on it. Well, once you put the super glue on it, especially with these new types of lenses, I can't use acetone to get that super glue off. So if you just left it alone, maybe put some tape on it just to get you by until you could see me on Monday, we could take those lenses and fit them into another frame. But once they have the super glue, you know, sometimes I can get that off. But a lot of times, depending on the material that those lenses were made out of, I can't. It would ruin the lens.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to edge it off. I try to do something, but it just makes it so much more difficult when super glue is used. The other thing is glasses that have those nylon cords in the fishing line,
mm-hmm.
you know, those break. You know, but typically that design is so much better than screws. Screws can loosen up any time. Typically that fishing line will last a long time.
Okay.
But it can break. Just take a piece of scotch tape and go around the edge just to get you in. But don't super glue those. Once you do that, I can't do anything with them.
Right.
Because that super glue gets into that little groove, and I can't get that out of there without ruining the lens.
Most time when a frame breaks, is it something we're doing and sometimes removing
it's just,
glasses?
You know, a lot of times people take off their glasses with one hand. Well, over time, that kind of loosens up that one hinge.
Because they just pull them off.
Right. Yeah. So it's better to take them off with both hands. But a lot of times it's just fatigue of the frame, you know, or somebody steps on them, you know, the typical accidents, that kind of stuff. But a lot of times when that happens, you can bring them in, and I can take those lenses and fit them into another frame. I do that all the time.
Right.
Actually, one of the few shops that still do that in Colorado. Most places will not work with an old lens.
And if someone has a favorite frame,
right, and you can bring that. You can bring that in. And I'll put new lenses in it. You know, a lot of places won't work with an old frame or that type of thing. Again, we're an old time optical.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot we can't do.
Well, I tell people it's really a custom shop. I've used that word a lot when I've talked about you because I said, hey, you know, I've seen folks who have really big glasses, you know, just frame wise I'm talking about, and I'm like, do you like those or do you like something thinner? Because and you can figure all that out for them, whatever, you know, because they just might be used to those thinking there's no other options. Right. Yep.
And as far as parts, I have so many different parts. The only thing I don't do anymore is welding. I used to weld frames. The problem is the quality of the metals have changed so much over the years. The only thing I know how to weld is gold-filled frames, because I use gold wands to do that, you know, gold sticks. And it just doesn't hold anymore. I've tried it on the newer metals, and they just don't hold, so I just can't do welding anymore.
Right.
But there, besides that, there isn't a lot that I can't do to fix a frame.
Yeah. Again, Alan Stack is with us. It's Stack Optical, 2233 South Monaco Parkway. And I tell you just personally, I've been seeing Alan a long time. My wife, Victoria, has made us glasses, at times contacts, and been doing our eye exams there. And I'm telling you, if you're looking for a place to really get personal touch care, it is Stack Optical. Well, now, I replay these from time to time, so we may be in a blizzard right now when somebody hears this again.
Right,
but
right.
Here in February, when we're recording this mid-February, this has been the most unusual weather I've ever seen. I've lived here since 93. You've been here a lot longer than that.
Yep.
Is it for you, too?
Oh, yeah. I've been here since the 60s. I've never seen anything like this. You know, let the dog out this morning, and it was 60 degrees at 7:30 in the morning. It was just, oh. It makes no sense to me. In February?
Yeah. And I bring that up because, as a matter of fact, I was at a golf – you brought up golf. I was at a golf course yesterday talking with a guy, and they were busy.
Right.
Yeah. And the guy said, this has been – it's bad for our grounds.
Right.
But it's great for our, the registers.
Cause that's right.
People are out playing golf. So, hey, as we get in here to spring and all, we're going to get a lot of snow. We don't know. But I tell you want to enhance your golf game. Being able to see the ball really helps.
Right.
And then being able to find it helps.
Yeah, well, it's so important, you know, different types of colors. But most people prefer brown polarized for golf. It just allows you to get through the shadows and find your ball. And especially with the flat light that we have here, that a brown lens blocks out blue light, which blue light doesn't focus well on the retina. But it also gives you that kind of high definition.
Mm-hmm.
Just allows you to see definition better. Right. And that's really important, especially when everything's brown.
Sure. You know? Yeah. And everything is brown.
That's right.
And from a shooting standpoint, and I don't know, through the years, you had the Stack Sports Pack and different right. things like that. If people want to get into that, removable lenses, same frame, super easy.
Yeah, they've updated the frame, but I still have
that. Yeah, but yep. you've still got that available. Yeah. So, hey, for our sportsmen and women out there, you know, I know there's a lot of companies that make a lot of different things, but I'm telling you, to have something really custom from Allen, get the tents that you need. Sometimes right. it's kind of like those big variety bags of chips, Allen, you get. There's like there's always one in there you don't like.
Right.
You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, right.
And sometimes I've seen some of these packages just from, you know, sports stores and all, and I'm like, I would never wear that lens. Why pay for it? So I can come to you
right.
if I need one or two, three.
Right.
I
right.
can get exactly what I need and I'm going to use.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's what that really is pretty cool about that, the Stack Sports Pack, as you put it. And the new design is a little bit more of a wraparound, which has worked out really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because sometimes, you know, man, I'm looking through different binoculars, different things, and, boy, the sun can come different ways.
Right.
When that wraps around you, it really helps.
It does.
Yeah, for sure. Once again, if you're just joining us, Allen Stack is with us at Stack Optical, 2233 South Monaco Parkway. The number is 303-321-1578, and it is stackoptical.com. Now, sticking with the outdoors a little bit here, and again, the mountains have been getting a little bit of snow, but, boy, you want to talk about something that's bright. Is a reflection of the sun off the snow.
Absolutely.
That's
got
to be one of the brightest
lights. That's why
you've
got to wear goggles. And what's kind of neat about, you know, you might have a favorite pair of ski goggles. Well, now I've got these adapters you can put inside the ski goggle and I can put your prescription in there. So I know there's some goggles out there you can wear over your glasses. They're typically not quite as comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've got a favorite pair of goggles, bring them in. And a lot of times I can put an adapter in there and put your prescription in them.
And how large is that? Is that prescription in the lens itself, or is the whole
it's still a pretty good size. You've seen those aviator glasses?
Oh yeah,
right. They're basically about that size.
Okay,
and then they've got four little hooks on them that just hook inside your goggles.
Mm-hmm. You know, something we've talked about for years, as long as you've done this show, we've talked about the internet. Everybody loves to shop on that, and there are great things to buy on the internet. There are things we don't suggest. And I would think number one is glasses.
Yeah, there's nobody regulating that out there. Mm-hmm. You know, people come in all the time with glasses they purchase on the internet and having problems. And, you know, there's nothing really you could do. It's just wasted money.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the problems you've seen with?
Prescription problems, fit problems. And another thing is you don't really have somebody there helping you pick out a frame. You know, they might send you some frames.
Sure.
And then you think, oh, yeah, that'll work out great. But they don't fit. And mm-hmm. you can't put fit into a frame that wasn't there to begin with. You know, we can adjust and we try to tighten them up for you, but a lot of times there's not a lot we can do.
Right.
And but also the quality of the lenses.
Right. You know, yeah.
People complain, you know, well, I got these no-line bifocals on there, but they don't work. Well, Jesus, you check them out. There's all kinds of waves in them. They're not fit properly.
Mm-hmm.
They're either too high or too low as far as the fitting cross in them.
And you could cut a lot of cost if you put some wavy lenses in
there. That's right. Yeah. I could get my lenses from Mexico and make all kinds of money, you know.
And also I would think, because I see people sometimes, man, their glasses aren't where they should be upon the bridge of nose. They wearing them all over, and sometimes I think that's just because it's a poor fit. And they did not get measured properly.
Exactly.
And all that.
And the frame,
right?
The frame choice was wrong.
Hmm.
You know, it wasn't the proper frame for the nose or the face. And that's what we're trained in.
Right. Again, Allen Stack is with us. Stack Optical, 2233 South Monaco Parkway, 303-321-1578. Tell you what, we're going to hit a quick break. More with Allen Stack coming right back.
How much do you need to lower your monthly mortgage payment? $200, $300, $400 or more? As rates decline, take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Over 24 years of saving Coloradans money. Low rates, lower payments, less costs. What makes us different is we listen. As an independent mortgage broker, we shop the top lenders to save you the most. Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Want to purchase your next home? You can't qualify unless you sell your current home? Let us show you how to get the down payment out of your current home, qualify for the new one, and then sell yours for the most. Affordable interest mortgage, 720-895-0500. So you want to buy a home. Let us show you loans that can save you money, low down payment, first-time home buyer specials, fixed rates in the fours with buy-downs. Call for details, 720-895-0500, or apply now at AIMortgage.net. That's Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. Regulated by DORA, NMLS, 217-147, Equal Credit Lender.
This is AM 560, KLZ, your home station.
Welcome back to the show. Alan Stack is with us, Stack Optical, 2233 South Monaco Parkway. And Alan's been our exclusive optical person and place that we get all our glasses from. And I'm telling you, Alan, every time I'm in there, I mean, you want to talk about a old-fashioned neighborhood feel, you know, it's at your store because, I mean, everybody knows you. You know, you're seeing generations. Not trying to make you feel old, but you're seeing generations of people.
60 years worth, yes.
Man, that's crazy. What's changed the most when you look back at those early years when you were doing this to today?
I would say the frame styles, but that's not true. We pulled up a bunch of advertisements from the 60s.
Oh, really?
A lot of those frames are coming back. They're available now as brand new stuff, you know. You know, the leading lady type looking frames.
Oh, okay.
The biggest thing is back then, the only thing we had to offer were glass lenses. And when I was making glass, we had two stores at one time out in Lakewood. I was the one out in Lakewood. Dad was in Cherry Creek. And out in Lakewood, the only thing I could do was make glass.
Mm-hmm.
And then when plastic came around in the late 70s, early 80s, Dad got that special equipment to be able to do plastic.
Right.
I'd have to send everything in to Dad if I did plastic. You know. But that's probably the materials, the lens materials has changed so much.
Right. I tell you, I was down in that area where your store used to be in Cherry Creek, and I remember the day we talked, moving, man. You were on the ledge of the pier about like, oh, this is so terrible. And now you look at the parking you have, the ease.
Oh, yes.
Dude, you're 20 steps, if that, from the car to the door.
Right.
You know, and it's so nice.
Yeah, and plus, that's still a parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
I drove by that just the other day.
Yeah.
And that's been, you know, 9 years.
Has it been that long?
Yeah, it would be because it was 2017.
Wow. That's crazy. Yeah. Hey, I want to talk. You mentioned tents a little bit, and I want to touch on a couple of things. Driving, again, I'll talk about as we age into life. I hear a lot of seniors especially, man, just I don't like driving at night. And I always ask them why. And they start talking. So I say, call Alan. He can make you something to maybe help.
Typically, the biggest problem with night is, one, getting that prescription updated. A lot of times, just a little bit of change in your astigmatism in your prescription can really help at night. Plus, a really good AR coating. And lastly, make sure your lenses are clean.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, people, I look at them, and they're all oily, greasy. That's typically what builds up on our glasses, you know, mm-hmm. because you just take them off and you wipe them.
Right.
You don't realize most of that is from our skin, from our and that oils that come from off our skin.
Mm-hmm.
Dawn dishwashing soap is the best thing to clean your glasses. So clean your glasses before you're going to go out night driving. It'll make a big difference.
Yeah, I use your spray thing in the car.
And the spray,
you know,
spray
for something
is
like that. But then the last time you said that, Victoria's out there, and I said, let me see your glasses. And I took some.
Right.
And, dude, it was like they were brand new.
Right. Yeah, clear. It makes such a difference.
Yeah.
I mean, that spray that I give you, that's just for emergencies, that kind of stuff. I use that stuff on my cell phone.
Right.
You know, home, I still like Dawn dishwashing soap. That's what we use at the office. That's what I use at home.
Mm-hmm.
I clean my glasses.
Right.
And that's what I've been recommending. Well, actually, Dad was recommending that in the mid-'80s.
Really?
Because before that, we were using Sudsy. Sudsy had ammonia in it. Well, ammonia over time will break down these new coatings and that kind of stuff, so you don't want to use that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay.
So Dad was looking around for a new cleaner, and he was a boater. And he'd been using Dawn because it was biodegradable and that kind of stuff. And anyway, that really cut the grease. Well, grease is what builds up on your glasses. And it turns out that Dawn has been, you know, really our go-to cleaner ever since.
Interesting. Wow. All right. I want to touch on tints a little bit, kind of get into the shooting world here for Sportsman of Colorado folks. I always wore basically the orange type lenses before me and you started doing some stuff together.
And there's nothing wrong with the orange type lenses.
And most of the time those fit, but there were times they were not ideal in any way.
Right.
Until I started switching the lenses, I never thought about, man, cloud cover, how's that going to change, you know, different things. So talk about that a minute.
A couple different ways you can go. When you're golfing, a lot of times we could, I call it a drive wear lens, which is a brown color, but it's polarized, and it changes depending on the light conditions. So it'll get darker when it's really bright, and then it'll start to lighten up when we get into twilight hours or the clouds come over. Hmm. So that's a great lens. That's what I use for golf. Another possibility is just a transition brown. And I put that in my shooting glasses because I still like the idea of the brown giving you the higher definition. And when you're outside, but I need that protection. But when I'm going to go shooting indoors, I don't want any. Well, that lightens all the way up to zero.
Sure.
Or the drive wear doesn't do that. Gray. Gray is great for just basic driving. But something to keep in mind, the transitions don't work well in the car because your windshield blocks out ultraviolet light.
Yeah, true.
Except for that drive wear. That drive wear doesn't depend on UV. It's actually light that causes that to activate. It's one of the unusual aspects of that particular lens. So it does work in the car.
Hmm.
But the other transitions don't.
Right. Again, Alan can help you out. And I tell you, as I mentioned, it's really a custom eyewear shop. All right. I mean, he'll make them perfect for you. And Alan, hey, let's be honest. Sometimes, you know, you get it like that, and then the person, it felt good that day, and then they come back 3 or 4 days later to get them, and they want them tweaked a little bit. It's right
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
How about you're not shipping it back somewhere?
Right.
And all that kind of stuff.
Right.
I mean, and then also,
actually, just like your wife, she wanted the custom shape. Mm-hmm. And I can do any of that with the silhouettes. You know, the silhouettes are a completely rimless frame.
Right.
And we can put any shape you want in there. And then if you wanted the shape a little bit longer, a little bit wider, I can customize it that way.
Right.
That's one of the few frames I can do that with.
Are there some things you see in the advertising world? I was thinking about the driving. You know, I've always seen these late-night commercials like, oh, get these kind of glasses. They do it for everybody. Or, you know, Charlie was even mentioning something he saw on Facebook where you can adjust some glasses.
Right, they have liquid-filled lenses and that kind of stuff.
And it
works on such a small part of the population. And if you have any astigmatism, they can't correct for that.
Mm-hmm.
All this is doing is just making it so you can see on the distance, and then you put squeeze the liquid in there so it's more like a magnifier so you can read. You know, it's all gimmicky stuff.
Yeah.
And typically, that's what you get on the Internet.
Yep. That's why it's the Internet.
Yeah.
And here's what I like, too, Alan. You know, and there's a lot of big box stores and places that, you know, I hadn't been in a mall in years, but I know there's places in malls. But, man, the training, just the years of experience. And one of your great things you do is really hard prescriptions.
Absolutely. And there isn't a prescription out there I can't handle.
Yeah.
You know, I've gone up to a 24.5. What that means is 24 diopters. Well, let's say the average prescription's 2 or 3.
24.
Yeah, so I mean, it was a Coke bottle, but I was still able to fit it into a frame. Now, granted, we went into a small frame. There was a lot of different types of materials that we used, that kind of stuff. But I can handle almost anything.
Mm-hmm.
And prisms, I do prisms all the time.
Okay, and explain what that term means.
Okay, prism is it has to do with the muscles in the eye.
Okay.
Sometimes they don't work together, so you put a little prism in there so they do work together. And a lot of people have just a little bit of imbalance, and it's never corrected for.
Mm-hmm.
And our doctor finds that. and it just makes it more comfortable. I diagnosed myself back in the 90s when I put myself through a refracting course, and I found that I had a muscle imbalance. And sure enough, I went to the instructor, and I had quite a bit of a muscle imbalance. And it explained why my eyes got tired at night reading and that kind of stuff. That went away once I put the prism in there.
Wow. That's cool. So, what are a couple of tips? A couple minutes left. What are a couple of, I shouldn't say tips. What are a couple pieces of advice? A lot of times, especially guys, man, something can happen health-wise, and we just kind of slough it off. What are some things that if you say, if your eyes ever start to do this, or your vision starts to do this?
Yeah, if you ever wake up and you see flashing lights, that kind of stuff, and your okay. eye, you need to get in right away. You wake up in the morning and, boy, I'm just not seeing well. You know, it could be just, you know, stuff in your eyes. But if that goes on for a couple hours, you want to get in and get seen.
Right.
Yeah. Any kind of pain in the eye, you want to get in and get seen.
Mm-hmm. What's the best thing to use if you get something in your eye? You know, that's all happened to all of us. Do you put Visine in your eye?
No, I don't like Visine because Visine, and you don't see that very often. I haven't seen that at the store in a while.
Now, I've heard, you correct me if I'm wrong, it constricts.
It's exactly what it does.
Vessels.
It constricts the blood.
That's
vessels.
Why it takes the red out.
Right, yes. So it's actually harder on your eyes. No, probably your best thing is just a good non-preserved, like I've always loved Refresh.
Okay.
You know,
just some fresh tears, so to
right.
speak.
Okay. Absolutely. And try to get the non-preserved, you know, the individual, you break them open, squirt it in both eyes, because then you don't have to worry about getting infections and that
right.
kind of stuff, or reaction to the preservatives.
Yeah. But if you feel something in there, and this is the hardest thing not to do, you right. don't want to rub and scratch your eye, right? Because if you start really rubbing it, that's going to cause whatever's yep. in there to do some damage.
Absolutely.
Yeah. See there? I could be a little doctor too. Well, Alan, hey, man, great to see you.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
Thank you for being such a great partner and friend of the show. And, folks, look, how long? I've started out this way. I'm going to end it this way. How long has it been since you've had a good eye exam? All right, call Stack Optical today, 303-321-1578. Go on stackoptical.com. Read those reviews. See why people love Stack Optical so much. They're located at 2233 South Monaco Parkway. And when you go in, let them know you heard them here on Haystack Help Radio, Sportsman of Colorado, KLZ. Just let them know you heard them here on the show, and we'd appreciate that as well. So, Alan, we'll look forward to next
Thank
time.
Thank you, Scott.
Thanks for being with us today. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Leave it right here on KLZ 560.
Riding an e-bike will make you feel like a kid again. Just try it. Hi, I'm Randy Kranzi, founder of eBike of Colorado. E-bikes are a fun way to ride around town. Pedal Assist technology flattens the steepest hills. We have 14 major brands to choose from, and our expert staff will find you the perfect bike. Come take a free test ride at eBike of Colorado in downtown Louisville next to the historic grain elevator. Open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Learn more at ebikeofcolorado.com. Just try it.
Looking to gear up for your next hunt, fishing trip, or camping adventure? Head to the Outdoorsman's Attic, Colorado's largest consignment store for hunting, fishing, and camping gear, located at 2650 West Hamden. Hey, this is Scott with Sportsman of Colorado Radio, and you'll find wall-to-wall outdoor gear to firearms and ammo. You'll find incredible selection at unbeatable prices, plus clothing over 90 days old is up to 50% off, so there's always great deals waiting. Whether you're upgrading gear or just getting started, the Outdoorsman's Attic is a must stop. Mention Sportsman of Colorado for additional discounts. It's the Outdoorsman's Attic, where smart outdoorsmen shop. Tell them Scott sent you. It's 2650 West Hamden.
Here's why you need personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh on your side. He understands the way the jury thinks. In the context of a personal injury case, you've been hurt by someone else's negligence. The idea is that you're going to try to recover so that you can get back to where you were just prior to that incident occurring. What that really means from a jurist perspective is that you're going to be asking them to award you money. So when we talk about fairness, we're talking about six people that you don't know. Those six people view the evidence and make a unanimous decision that will decide what the fair value is. When you're the one who's hurt, you have a good idea of what you think it's worth. The question is, can you persuade those other individuals, whom you don't know, and were witnesses to believe that's what the case is worth. Kevin Flesh understands the way the jury thinks. Call now for a free consultation, 303-806-8886.
You're listening to 560 KLZ, your home station.
Welcome to Your Health Matters, sponsored by Integrated Health Systems. Traditional medicine has left you frustrated. You've seen doctor after doctor searching for answers, only to feel more confused than ever. Chiropractic neurologist Dr. Shane Stedman, along with his team at Integrated Health Systems, does the detective work you need to identify causes, not just treat your symptoms. Using a team approach to combine functional medicine with neurology, Integrated Health Systems spends the necessary time with each client to find out what's really going on. Thanks to Dr. Stedman and his team, many clients who struggle with debilitating health issues have finally found relief. Now, Haystack Health Radio proudly presents Your Health Matters.
And we'd like to welcome you to Your Health Matters. As mentioned, brought to you by Integrated Health Systems. Hey, their number 303-781-5617. Always a free initial consult. And we want to thank Dr. Shane Stedman for offering that for our listeners. And with that, we'll welcome the man himself, Dr. Shane Stedman, founder of Integrated Health Systems. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you doing today?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I tell you, Victoria and I slipped off. We were in Wichita Friday and Saturday to watch some baseball with a nephew, son. 112 like heat index down there. It was smoking hot. It got back late yesterday afternoon. It was pretty warm here still, too. But, yeah, it has been warm.
yeah, I know. Like everybody else, kind of done with this, but it won't let up. So I guess we'll endure it.
Exactly. Hey, you know, I was sitting there listening to the promo, and I got to thinking, you know, the years we've known each other and where your practice has grown to, do you just sit back sometimes and like, wow, from where you started out, you know, with chiropractic type, you know, thoughts and what you were going to do and be and to where all this has just grown to with all these different type other health conditions, I guess I'll call it, now that you're able to help people with. It's pretty amazing, man.
I could not agree with you more. I actually do. There's very, very many, many times that I sit back and I'm like, holy moly. Like, just, you never know where life is going to take you, you know, as you just live, you know. And, yeah, kind of like seeing where the practice has gone and what we've implemented and what we do. Yeah, no idea. Like, sometimes even my wife, she'll say the same thing. She's like, she goes, this is crazy what you guys do over there. Did you ever think this would happen? I was like, no. Like, I wanted it to, and that's obviously kind of my dream. But, Right. Yeah, when I sit back and go, oh, we have a Doppler. Like, I'll tell people, I'm like, we have a Doppler where we can measure arteries in the brain. And I'm like, holy cow, I have a Doppler. You know, or like, you know, we're going to talk about punch biopsies today. You know, sometimes I'm like, I'll tell people, oh, yeah, we have a punch biopsy. I'm like, that's crazy. We do punch biopsies in my office. Like, I don't know. It's like we're always trying to add things and find out things, but like we're just doing really cool stuff to figure out people's problems. And not in my wildest dreams would I ever thought that we'd have a Doppler to measure people's blood vessels in their brain.
Exactly. So, well, congrats. Yeah, well, congrats, man. Done a good job. Before we, like you said, we're going to talk about punch biopsy. I'm trying to think where I want to start here. Let's talk, before we talk about what it is, let's talk about kind of who it's for. What is a patient dealing with, suffering with, whatever the right term would be, to where this comes into play?
Yeah, this is that's a fascinating first question, because that's kind of like how we got this diagnostic testing in our clinic. Because when you look at what it's for, traditionally it's for people that have numbness and tingling and burning in their like hands and feet. So the kind of the key symptoms is like burning, tingling, feeling. So what we're looking at is the small, tiny fiber, nerve fibers that are kind of like underneath the skin area. So a lot of times when people talk about like numbness and tingling, and we talked about that on the show, I mean, it could be anywhere from like, you can have sciatica, and that's a neuropathy, and those are large fiber neuropathies. Those are big nerves. So sciatica, carpal tunnel syndrome, thoracic outlet syndrome, those are all large nerve fiber types. The small nerve fiber types give you like the deep pain, burning, tingling, those type of sensations. And so that's kind of how it starts off. But what's really been fascinating and why we brought it in here is because other people have these small fiber dysfunctions, and they're people like that have fibromyalgia. They could be people that have abdominal pain that people can't figure out. They definitely go with like diabetic neuropathies, and that's a really classic one. But then they've kind of shown it for some of these like other types of like dysautonomia or POTS. And we've talked about that on the show too, where we talked about people that have POTS syndrome, dysautonomia. Well, apparently you can have small fiber neuropathy that affects and causes POTS. So that's kind of how this started is, you know, we're doing all this testing and trying to figure out why people have POTS. And then all of a sudden they're like, well, we can do a test in our office. It's called a sweat test, where we can measure the sweat that comes off your hands and feet. And so then we do this test and we're like, well, that's abnormal. Well, why is it abnormal? And like, well, people can have small fiber neuropathy because your small fibers also control your sweating. So they were like, crap, well, how do we figure that out? Like, you know, because it's always trying to figure out the why. It's like, okay, well, there's a why to this. Okay, how do we do that? And it's like, well, there are clinics, you know, in Colorado that do it, but it's usually like in the hospital. So now we got to send somebody to a hospital and they got to go through that rigmarole. And now it's going to be like, you know, 3 months to get in or 6 months to get in. We're trying to figure out stuff now. And so that's kind of where it came from is now you have this kind of like this other group of people like fibromyalgia, for example, that can have small fiber neuropathy, but they don't look at that in medicine. That's not a traditional test that somebody with fibromyalgia would run. So we're like, okay, well, you start looking at all these people that have these potential symptoms, like now we have to like try to figure out who to send them to and if they'll accept them and if their insurance will accept them. And I mean, just the whole rigmarole. So I was like, ah, screw it. We're going to find a way to get into our office. So right. That's kind of that's the people. It's the numbness, tingling, burning, POTS, some of your abdominal issues, some of these like weird feelings in the like restless leg syndromes now in that same conversation. Those are kind of the people that we've been really kind of like doing research on and looking at with this test.
Right. One thing when I was reading a little bit before the show and everything you just mentioned, I saw under an article I read sensory symptoms. And then one I read under autonomic symptoms of sweating changes, like you said, dizziness, stomach trouble, heart changes. So again, this is another thing that just astounds me about what you guys do. When you have all these different symptoms that people can feel and all the different things it could point to. I mean, I guess that's the purpose behind all this testing, because that's going to help you narrow it down quicker.
Yeah, absolutely. And if we can narrow that down in the office, that's great. So kind of like, you know, like you do like POTS, you know, which is kind of the reason why we got the Doppler too. So, you know, you put somebody on a tilt table for POTS or dysautonomia, and then we hook them up to, you know, a Doppler so we can see, well, are they getting these symptoms because they're not getting enough blood flow to the brain, or is there something wrong with their cardiovascular system, or is there something wrong with another system? But then you get into the small fiber where they're not sweating. You're like, okay, well, is this now a brain issue? Is it a blood vessel issue? Is it a heart issue? Is it small fiber? Because, like, you got to get to the cause, and if we can figure out the cause, then we can make people better, which is kind of the whole piece. But man, this small fiber world is, the more you read on it, the more you're like, it's hard not to go, everybody has this. You know, but it's just, that's kind of how it feels.
Exactly. Again, Dr. Shane Steadman is with us. All right, so let's talk about what it actually is, the procedure, you know, and how it's done, and what should someone expect when they come in for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know, like, so Sharon, our nurse practitioner, is definitely the one that spearheads it. And I know she wants to, I think she's going to, you know, come on and chat about this too.
Yes.
On another segment. But Yeah, so it's really, you're taking, so like the punch biopsy, you're taking this like little circular kind of tool, and then you make like a little like hole kind of punch in the calf or in the thigh. And so you take this little piece of tissue that's like 2 millimeters, which is crazy to me that they do this, and they send it off to the lab. And then the lab is out in California. And then they take this 2 millimeter slice of tissue and they cut it into like 15 more slices. And then they put it under these like powerful microscopes where they can look at the nerves. And so they look at the nerves and they find out, like, are the nerves like degenerating? Do you even have enough nerves like in a section? There's like a bunch of things where they call like beading. So like when they get damaged, they start to like bead. And so with these beads, and they disrupts the transmission, so they can't go down the flow. They call it like hopping. It's like all these like different terminologies that they have looking at these nerves. And then they send us a report back saying the person is fine or the person has small fiber neuropathy. This is what they have, and this is how severe it is. So not only can we figure it out, but then like I have one patient with diabetes, and it was like so severe that I think she had like 1 or 2 fibers per millimeter of space. And you're supposed to have like more than 13, you know? So I was like, whoa, okay, there's not very many nerves left from this diabetic neuropathy that she has. So now we're trying to figure out like ways of trying to regenerate, you know, so we got to work on somebody's like blood sugar and lifestyle and inflammation and all the things we talked about, but like, how can we get these nerves to repopulate, or can we get them to grow? And that becomes the next set of questions that we're kind of really working on, because you have your medical management, which is usually like gabapentin or Lyrica, are kind of like the two major medications that they use.
Right.
Just to like knock your pain down.
Right. And so I'm trying to remember, Sharon came on once and talked about it. Again, we're going to get her on too, but a little bit of lidocaine to localize the area a little bit. So there's really, and you doctors, you love this word. You're going to feel a little pressure. You know, I love that when doctors say that. Okay. Yeah. Like, yeah, a little bit of pressure. But honestly, insurance, there's really no pain to it, really. You feel a little pressure like that. But there's no stitches involved, anything like that.
No, not at all. Not at all. You use some lidocaine, it goes on the skin and just numbs it. And then most people are just kind of watching, and you just like, yeah, you take the little tweezers and you get this little piece of tissue that's out, and you put in a solution so you can send it off. It's like no time at all. It's super duper easy. It's kind of been, I mean, it's been fun. It's been fun and fascinating for us, you know, because we're watching it. And, you know, we had a lady that came out when we introduced it into the clinic, and she's been doing it for 35 years. She works for Mayo Clinic. So it was like, what a way to, like, teach the whole staff what we need than to bring somebody out from Mayo. And so she did all the testing or all the training, and it's just been really fascinating.
Wow. So it's mainly, like you said, people maybe just getting in the car, turn on the radio. It's mainly just kind of what you would say an unexplained burning pain, numbness, tingling, like you said, in your feet or legs. Is that mostly where it's felt?
Mostly where it's felt, yeah. It's mostly in the legs. Sometimes it can be in the hands. But, yeah, you see definitely a lot more in the legs. Because, like, when people have, like, for instance, like, diabetic neuropathy, it always kind of starts more in the feet, and then it kind of gets worse and worse and worse. And so you're kind of looking for kind of two different kind of findings. It's like, one, is it in the feet, and then it's getting further up the leg? Or the other one is, like, is your leg different than your foot? So sometimes we'll take, like, two biopsies so we can look at the, like, leg and the foot, or the calf and the thigh, to be more specific. And so if they're kind of different and abnormal, sometimes that can actually go with like certain autoimmune conditions like Sjogren's disease, which is a really common autoimmune condition, but it can actually be associated with Sjogren's. And so, there's an autoimmune component to this. There's a diabetic component. There's a, and then I think the one that still fascinates me the most as we're, you know, going through this is all the autonomic stuff. Cause like, what you don't realize too, or what people don't talk about, is there's small fiber that helps control all the aspects of your like digestion and even bowel and bladder and
heart rate variabilities and all these like different pieces. All these little things are all small fibers that play these significant roles, because like if you get burned, right, your heart rate goes up and you get sweaty, you know?
Right.
Like if you ever kind of burned your hand or you had some kind of like response, like you're going to get a full body response from this. And so if these fibers are just doing their own thing willy-nilly, then they cause some really interesting sensations that are not warranted. So you're just sitting there sweating profusely, or you're sitting there and you got this like weird sensation in your hands. Like it's just, it's kind of fun. It's like all these weird stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to figure out all these, which is what we like, just trying to figure out the weird stuff.
You do like that stuff, yeah. have you noticed anything with, and I realize this is relatively new, so we don't have, you know, years of study. We can do that in a couple of years. But would people with diabetes be more prone or susceptible to having this condition?
For sure. It's almost like, okay. Yeah, that's probably the number one group of people. So, which is, you know, it's interesting because on one hand in medicine, when we kind of talk to docs, they're kind of like, well, why would you do this? Because diabetes affects the small fibers. So it's kind of like, so with diabetics, then they usually get gabapentin or Lyrica. And if it helps, then they're like, case closed. Like, so they're on their diabetic medication and they're on their gabapentin. Like, what else do you want? And so that is definitely your like kind of your number one group out there. And so what I'm kind of hoping with this is like, there's definitely some literature and research that you can regenerate these. So we're kind of hoping, okay, if we do some things that are on the holistic side, you know, can we improve their blood sugar? You know, that becomes a big piece. Can we change their diet, change their lifestyle, improve their blood sugar? And then can we get these small fibers to regenerate? And if we can do that, then we can do a follow-up punch biopsy in like 6 months and see if we've actually gone from like severe small fiber to like mild. And that would be super cool, but that's next on our agenda, is trying to figure that piece out.
Is fibromyalgia under this?
Yeah, fibromyalgia is kind of a really fascinating one under this. Because like people do have these like, you know, kind of aches and pains all through their muscle.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why this has kind of been one of those things that we kind of found interesting. I think we do see fibromyalgia cases. I would say we don't see a ton of them, you know, but we also don't put that out there because there's so many variables to it.
Sure.
If that makes sense. But this is definitely a variable that's really intriguing.
Right. Now, I always like to circle around all the blood work you do. Anything in blood work ever help point to someone suffering with this condition, or is this strictly all just nerve stuff?
You know, right now it's nerve stuff. There's
okay.
There's a University of Washington has a neuromuscular clinic, and so there's actually a couple labs that they're the only ones I've seen that ran it. Mayo Clinic has some labs too, but that's, you know, kind of a different system, but I actually got to do a follow-up phone call, but I actually called University of Washington, their neuromuscular clinic, because they do have some labs that are really interesting to kind of show if you might have this, because there's not really any labs out there, which is kind of interesting, but makes sense. Now, there's some kind of correlation between like Sjogren's again, so if you run blood work and it comes back positive for Sjogren's, and then somebody has some like weird sensations in their hands and feet, and sometimes they'll call that like glove and stocking, you know, so like your hands have gloves on or your feet have socks. So if you have like Sjogren's plus this, then it kind of makes sense. But other than that, there's not really much. It's kind of based on symptoms. It's like all these people that have really weird, interesting symptoms, they kind of get put on gabapentin, which is kind of like the main drug that everybody's getting put on right now.
Right. Again, Dr. Shane Steadman is with us. It's Integrated Health Systems, 303-781-5617 is the number. And as I said at the beginning of the show, Dr. Steadman's kind enough to give our listeners a free initial consult, so take advantage of that. So when you get the results back, what are some of the range of results you've seen? And then let's talk about then what's the next step then of what those results come back and say? And then what does the treatment possibly look like?
Yeah, so a lot of the results, actually, we're kind of talking about that earlier today. It's interesting that all the results have come back positive, but we're also like screening people and they're like, oh, I definitely think you might have it. you know, but the ranges have kind of been, they kind of go from like mild to severe, but really fascinating enough, a lot of people have been on the severe side, like severe loss of nerves or severe, you know, like degeneration of them, which has kind of been, that's been eye opening to me. So kind of what we're looking right now is looking at, we've been putting together kind of like more of a holistic treatment. So there's some really fascinating research with alpha-lipoic acid out there, you know, that helps with some of the regeneration. There's actually a peptide that's out there, but it's not FDA approved that we're actually kind of looking into. Apparently they use it inside the Mayo Clinic system, but can't find a pharmacy that has it available. So we're looking at that. Actually, interesting, some of your, like, there's a certain type of B1 that's really good for it, so a vitamin B1. So that's kind of where we're at right now, is looking at some of these things and research that show to regenerate this or to help grow it. So that's kind of our next treatment. Plus, you got to work on whatever's causing it. So if somebody has an autoimmune condition, we got to work on the cause. If somebody has diabetes, we got to work on the cause. You know, so we, at the same time, we got to work on, like, trying to stop whatever is causing damage to these nerves, and then try to get the nerves to kind of wake up and grow again.
Right. Yeah, that was going to be my next question then. So regeneration is of course, a goal, but then it's just everything you can do to slow down the process, right?
Yep. Yeah. So if you can slow that, especially like diabetics, I mean, because you kind of see that where, like I have a younger patient that she was positive, and she's diabetic, but it's not like quote-unquote severe, but she kind of has like significant loss, which is not good. So we're, you know, so it's kind of almost like she's been good, you know, with her diet, but she can be way better. So this is almost kind of like that, hey, you need to be better because this isn't good and you're young, you know, so like this is definitely something to get under control. So it kind of helps us gain a little bit more information around that, but you definitely have to like stop the process, and that becomes the first step, and then try to regenerate. And then, like I said, like the research shows that takes about 6 to 12 months to regenerate some of these nerves, because nerves don't grow very fast.
Right.
That's kind of the bummer when you get into nerves, is they're super slow. But if we can kind of encourage them and like give them fertilizer and fuel and water and sunlight, can we get these things to grow faster?
Sure. Now, you mentioned younger patient there. So what age range can fall under this? I mean, what are you seeing?
I mean, yeah, I mean, she's 31, so,
wow,
you know, that's definitely young. You know, I have an older patient with that. She's not diabetic, but she has like insulin resistance, and she definitely has some small fiber, but she actually has some burning in her feet. Actually, both of them do. That's kind of why we did it, because both of them have burning in their feet that, you know, they had an MRI done and did not find anything there. And then somebody did a nerve test and didn't find anything there. And so they kind of been through all the different testing. And they're like, yeah, my feet just like burn and tingle all the time. It's like, yeah. So like they both had diabetes, or actually one is more insulin resistant and she's older. The other one's younger with, say, kind of a low level diabetes, and they both have it. So yeah, I haven't seen like a pattern, between like young and old and how severe. I mean, we definitely know that people with uncontrolled diabetes have very severe neuropathy. I mean, that's pretty classic, I would say. But it just makes me wonder if, like, you don't have to be severe to have severe neuropathy.
Sure. What are we looking at kind of cost-wise for something like this?
You know, the punch biopsy is actually, like, $120 to do in the office. And then insurance actually does a really good job of picking up most everybody's insurance as far as the evaluation.
Okay, wow. All right.
Yeah, so that's actually been really helpful too with patients. It's like, you know, to do the test isn't crazy expensive, and with the lab, man, the lab seems, I think so far they've picked up everybody's insurances is picked up this cost, because, you know, insurance wants to know that there's a reason for it.
Sure.
Insurance, so obviously we're finding there's a reason for it, and yeah, it so far that's actually been better than what we anticipated as well.
Yeah. And, man, just to have something that you can come in and get that quick and easy. And to be honest, I thought you were going to say $500, $600, $700. You know what I mean? I mean, that's usually kind of what you think of. So, man, that's a deal.
I know. Like you said, we kind of been shocked on that one, too, because you never know. Like, the whole time we're like, so what's this looking like, you know?
Right.
You know, because we got to get supplies and,
you know, we got to make sure everything is sterile and sterile gloves, you know, because you got to do all those things like you, the right way.
Sure.
You know, and so you're like, what's this looking like?
Mm-hmm. And that does bring it up. And I don't know of anybody else that does, whatever. But and so I'm just speaking general terms here. But, you know, all these testosterone places, all these different things. And again, not knocking anybody, but I'm just saying, you should go to a medical type facility, you know. Any word there, I'll let you take it from there. But, you know, just like you say, people that are looking out for you and where everything is done well.
I think it's good to definitely work with somebody. I mean, I think testosterone is a great example. I think it's good to work with clinics that do kind of look at the whole picture, because I think there are definitely some out there that it's kind of like they have a hammer and everything looks like a nail. And I think when it comes to health, you got to look at the whole picture, because if you get so like narrowly focused on one value, but you miss the bigger picture, that's never a good thing. And that's why we kind of brought in here too. Cause like, you know, we want to do stuff where we're looking like, how is this implemented with the whole picture, and what does it look like, and what's the overall cause? You know, even like testosterone, when we do testosterone in here, it's like, you know, if we look at that, then we say, okay, what's the implication will it have on things like estrogen, you know, or other hormones? Because it doesn't stop at testosterone. It also influences other hormones. So somebody might say, yeah, I'm big and buff and I'm feeling much better, but now they have high estrogen levels, and that's not healthy. So looking at the whole person is a very important piece, or even like just understanding the cause, you know, like, I would say a lot of clinics don't look at causes, because even if you have low testosterone, I think it's a great example, the question becomes, why? Why do you have low testosterone? What was the cause of that? Right. You know, so if somebody has small fiber neuropathy, what was the cause of that? And not just, here's your gabapentin, but is there a reason for this? And if we can get that reason under control, do you still need the medications? And some people may still need them, but...
Sure.
I think if we can find the cause, then hopefully we can reduce our need for drugs and medical intervention.
Wow. Well, Dr. Stedman, fascinating information, folks. Hey, look, if you're suffering with something like we're describing today, hey, now's the time to call 303-781-5617. Be sure and mention you heard them here on Your Health Matters, and we'd appreciate that as well. Dr. Stedman, appreciate your time, and I'll get by and see you soon, bud.
All right.
Thank you. That's Dr. Shane Stedman. Once again, Integrated Health Systems, always a free initial consult. And I tell you, they'll get you fixed up and feeling better. Thanks for being with us today for Your Health Matters.
Call Integrated Health Systems now for a free consultation. 303-781-5617. That's 303-781-5617. To book your consultation online, visit integratedhealthdenver.com. Thank you for listening to Your Health Matters. Be sure to join Dr. Shane Stedman live every Monday at 12:30 p.m. on KLZ 560.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.